Brother, I'm excited about that ministry. I've known about it for a number of years, and I know that it works. My son-in-law used him up there in Pennsylvania, and they had a host of young people in the school saved. So I'm for any ministry that's fundamental, Bible-believing, and trying to win souls. And so let's do. I'm sure that the church will do something to help you, I'm sure. And it is good to be here tonight. And for some of you, I know most of you, you've put up with me for 46 years. Some of you have. And let me just, I've been retired almost 10 years. And let me just give you just a little bit about this. I started preaching 66 years ago. That's a long time. And it was in 1953 at down at Southern Mississippi during spring football practice. I'd been putting off the call, I've told you this before, many, many times. And I realized one night in the athletic dormitory, I couldn't put it off any longer. Went out on the college golf course, got on my knees, and surrendered to preach. Gave up football, been preaching ever since. And came finally the Lord led here. Here 46 years, and I've been retired almost 10 years. So, but I want to preach where the Lord opens the door as long as I can preach. Amen. When I surrender to preach, there's no time element to it. Just, and I'm going to keep on preaching till the Lord calls me home, or nobody wants me, or I can't get up in the pulpit and preach. But I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for the privilege of being his servant. What a privilege, Brother Jody, for you to be the servant of the Lord. That's a great, great privilege. Great privilege. And I appreciate this church and love it and thank God for what he's done on these grounds. Well, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this ministry that of going into schools and that Brother Bob has and volleyball. Lord, he's using it in a great way for your glory. And I pray you'd bless our brother here tonight and this gentleman with the volleyball talent. And God, use him in a great way. May the Holy Spirit breathe on this all across America and calling a number of our young people to Christ and to a life from a life of sin. Now, Lord, help me tonight. Lord, I can't preach without you help. And may the Holy Spirit give me, Lord, help now to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew, the 27th chapter. Matthew 27. I had another sermon that I was going to preach, and it's going to be, and the Lord just changed my mind. I just wanted to exalt Jesus tonight. And so he led me to a sermon I preached 16 years ago at this church. And the Lord just called my attention to it. Matthew 27. If you have a Schofield Reference Bible, page 1040, at verse 11, Jesus interrogated by Pilate. Let's start with verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, excuse me, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and our children. And let me say this, the Jewish people are scattered around the world today because they asked God to put the blood of this man upon them. One day, you know the story, there Israel's going to be converted as in a day and turn to their Messiah. But that's not my sermon tonight. Christ before Pilate. In Matthew 26, we see Jesus. Excuse me just a minute. In Matthew 26, we see Jesus on trial before the high priest Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court. But here in Matthew 27, we see him on trial in Pilate's Hall of Judgment. Now get the picture firmly. Focus in your mind. Here he is, the friend of sinners. God come in the flesh. Led before the representative of the mighty Roman Empire. And he's shackled with handcuffs and leg irons. And here we see him in Matthew 27 in Pilate's Hall of Judgment. Now get the picture in mind, focused in your mind. Here he is, the friend of sinners. God come in the flesh, led before a representative of the mighty Roman Empire, shackled by handcuffs and leg irons. The judge of all earth, arraigned before one of his creatures, a member of Adam's fallen race. Now, in this trial of Christ before Pilate, there are a few things I want us to notice. First of all, the personalities involved. The central figure in this trial is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the innocent Lamb of God. Now, there he is. He stands in Pilate's hall. Keep in mind, folks, as he stands here in Pilate's hall, he's standing there for you, and he's standing there for me. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's standing there, God with us. He is a dominant figure in all of human history. He's the creator of the world. In John 1:3, it says all things were made by him. And he is the omnipotent one. Matthew 28:13, Jesus said, All power is given unto me. And the one standing in Pilate's hall will determine the destiny of every human being who ever lived on this earth. So you can see the importance of this. And then no more important person has ever been brought to trial in the annals of all the worldwide judicial systems. He's the number one prisoner of all times. Then secondly, the second central figure in this trial is Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. Some think that Pilate has risen to this high political office from slavery. He married well because his wife was related to Caesar. So political connections can help us sometime, you know. And history records him as being hard and cold, calculating, brilliant. And this is our Lord's judge, this man Pilate. And then third, here in this trial, standing outside, they wouldn't come in. We see the Jewish priests and elders who hated Jesus and wanted him killed and out of the way. He was upsetting their religious apple cart. There is also Barabbas, a notable prisoner, And he, as he is called in verse 16. Mark 15:7 says he was a rebel and a murderer. But he was released instead of Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God. Then the fifth personality involved in this civic trial of Jesus was Pilate's wife. She sent word to Pilate in verse 19 that I've had some bad dreams because of him. And her advice was, have nothing to do with this just man. And old Pilate made the worst mistake of his life when he didn't listen to his wife. And men, we make a lot of mistakes a lot of times when we don't listen to our wives too. But then, don't anybody say amen right there. But that's true, you know it's right. Then there was the bloodthirsty crowd outside the hall. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem a couple of days before this, that same crowd was praising Jesus. They threw palm branches in front of him as he entered a town on a colt. Then they were crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. But now they cry out, let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. They changed their tune. You know how fickle people can be. We hear majority rule all the time. But never, folks, never forget this. The majority are usually wrong. And the crowd is not going God's way. And I remember well as a 20-year-old boy in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Southern Mississippi played Memphis State. And I believe we beat them 28-21. I was left guard on offense, and it seemed like I run up and down the field 10 or 15 miles that night, seemed like. I was beat up, beat down, knocked up, knocked down. And I took a shower after the game and walked out of the stadium. And I had one of the crises of my life right here. Almost when I got out of the stadium and went out to the sidewalk, almost everyone was going down the hill to the homecoming dance. And I'd never danced before in my life. My daddy said, son, as long as you stick your feet under my table, you're not going to dance. And I like to eat too well to just obey my dad. But I did what he said. That old razor strop, if you heard me tell about us on the wall there, and had a lot to do with that. My dad was a coal miner, went under Saudi Mountain, mined coal for over 30 years. And mining coal all day for 30 years, you can really use a razor strop on your children if they misbehave. And Daddy didn't have to whip me but two or three times. But anyway, I liked to eat too well, so I didn't dance. And by the way, some of you dads, you ought to have the backbone of my father and say you'll never go to a dance as long as you stick your feet under my table. Me and you ought to be a man and say that. If you love God and been born again, you ought to say that. And nothing good ever come off of a dance floor. Dr. B.R. Lincoln stood right here one day. Did you know Dr. B.R. Lincoln? But one of the greatest men of God that ever lived. And he said he just came from a revival in Ohio, and six girls came up pregnant after the school prom up there. So there's nothing good ever come off a dance floor. Anyway, that night, outside the Southern Mississippi Stadium, I had to make a choice. Now, I was in the throes of a life choice right here. When I followed that crowd down the hill to the homecoming dance down at the, on the left, down at the field house, or would I turn right and go up to the right and back to my room in the athletic dormitory? It seems now as I look back, the Lord whispered to my soul and said, Gene, go on up to your room. And I will make it up to you. And I'm glad I did not follow the crowd that night down to the homecoming dance. I went up to my empty room, and two or three months later, I surrender to preach the gospel. And God has blessed me preaching for, I told Brother Jody, I counted up a while ago, I've been preaching 66 years tonight. And if I'd have gone to that dance, probably I wouldn't be standing up here preaching tonight. Well, I've persecuted the saints long enough on that. Let me get back to my outline here. But notice how Jesus answered these charges in verse 12. Look at verse 12 again. When he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. He answered three words. He answered nothing. Then look at verse 13 and 14. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. The governor marveled greatly and was amazed that Jesus offered absolutely no defense against these false charges. You say, preacher, why didn't Jesus refute these false trumped-up charges? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. I'm about ready to tell you anyway. But the great prophecy found in Isaiah 53:7 tells us why. Now, this prophecy came 700 years before Christ stood in Pilate's hall. And Isaiah the prophet said 700 years before this trial of Christ, before Pilate, in Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed. Now, this was a prophecy. See how well it was fulfilled. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. John the Baptist, so you can see the word of God was fulfilled. John the Baptist, who did he say when he saw Jesus come to be baptized on the river Jordan? He said, behold who? The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus was God's Passover lamb. Aren't you glad we have a Passover lamb? And when we trust him and trust his shed blood, he'll pass over us when one day when judgment comes. Thank God. It was time for him to be slaughtered and die for the sins of mankind. So he stood there silently and did not defend himself. God's word was fulfilled, and you can count on God's word being fulfilled. We've seen the personalities involved and the charges presented. Now let's look at the verdict that was rendered in 27, verse 26 there. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be upon him. Then Pilate released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, before he released him, he scourged him and delivered him to be crucified. And Mark 15 says, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. So Pilate released Barabbas and delivered Jesus to be crucified. Now, why did he do that? Why did he? You know, he wanted to please people. Exactly what he did. And Pilate committed a great injustice because he was a weak personality with no character. He released a criminal and delivered the just one just to please people. You know, a lot of preachers are ruined right here. They want to please people more than they want to please God. Now, I was pastor here 46 years, and you know, folks, I loved you. I loved you. I loved God, loved the people. But I believe I can say every time I come to this pulpit for these 46 years, every time, my one desire was to, first of all, please the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, preacher, that gives good freedom when you just come up just want to please Jesus. And Pilate's wife sent word to him, have nothing to do with this just man. But Pilate knew there was no evidence, and he knew there's no evidence to convict him. He knew that Jesus was clearly innocent. Matthew doesn't record this, but the Gospel of John says in John 18:38 that Pilate went out to the bloodthirsty mob before he made the final verdict and said he told the mob out there, "I find no fault in him." And from my soul this evening, I can say along with him, "I find no fault in Jesus." He's a lily of the valley, the bright morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And I want heaven to know, and I want earth to know, and I want each man, woman, boy, and girl in this auditorium to know tonight. I want it known down in the scorched regions of the damned this evening. I find no fault in my Savior. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's the altogether lovely one. He's a sweet rose of Sharon. I've started to sing. Brother Gary, start that chord for "He is so precious." Sing with me. "He is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. For he is so precious to me." Praise the Lord. How many of you can say that he's precious to you tonight? Say praise the Lord. Amen. 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 And he saved me at an old-fashioned mourner's bench as a 13-year-old boy, I've told many times here. I've failed him many times, so have you. And I'm sorry about that, but I can testify he's never failed me. He's never failed me. In spite of my faults and my weaknesses, I can report to you tonight, he's been a wonderful Savior. Praise his holy name. I just want to brag on Jesus and exalt him and lift him up the rest of my days on this earth. And I've been doing it for 66 years, and I'm going to do it as long as I can get a pulpit or anybody ask me to preach. I'm going to lift him up. Lift him up. He's a wonderful Savior. I just don't see how anyone would not want to live for Jesus and do his precious will. I can't understand that. I don't see how anyone can hear about Jesus and say no to him and walk out of this building or any building where the gospel is preached without God, without Christ, without hope. Hear what Christ can do for them. And I've been preaching about Jesus here at this church for over 40 years, 46 years now, over 50 years. And let me tell you one more time, he stands at your heart's door and wanting in. He said in Revelation 3:10, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Maybe in this crowd tonight, usually a prayer meeting, most people I understand probably believers. But maybe you're here and you say, "Preacher, I don't know that I'm saved." But I want to tell you one more time. He said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," and all you got to do is just open the door of your heart, "I will come in and will sup with him and he with me." And I beg with you, and I plead with you here tonight, open the door of your heart. Don't leave here without Jesus tonight. And he will save you and give you the assurance that you're a child of God before you leave here. He said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise, no way cast out." Yes, there's problems that you'll face, but aren't you glad he will be with you? And you know, folks, many, many times I had problems here, prostate cancer and other things like that. And you know what? I look back, I thank God for every problem I ever had. Because in my problems, Jesus was there to help me. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he'll be by your side. And he will, but listen, he'll be there for, if you're saved, he'll be by your side when you cross over to the other side. I was thinking of a dear lady that passed away here at our church before I retired, up in Johnson City, the hospital. And her son was there, and I was standing right by him, and she was on the bed, and she breathed her last breath right there. And her son grabbed me and hugged me, and we, as we wept over his dear mother going out to be with the Lord, I said, she's with Jesus. Because the Bible says, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Aren't you glad of that? Absent from this body to be present with the Lord. He's a wonderful Savior. As the song says, he'll hold to my hand. As over death's river I go, then safe I will be in beautiful heaven, I know. I don't see why anybody wouldn't get saved. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. I've preached long enough. I don't know how long it is, but I've preached long enough. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And folks, I preached tonight. I wanted to encourage you to just, you, most of you, if there's somebody here that's not saved, you can be saved. If you want to come down, we'll pray with you, and you can be saved before you leave here tonight. But most of you here tonight are believers. But what we need to do, we need to have a revival of falling in love with Jesus. That's what we need. We need to love him. And we need to want to do his will the rest of our days on this earth. And I'm going to have Brother Gary to just sing a song during this invitation. And I'm going to ask if you tonight, if the Lord's laying on your heart, to just recommit yourself to him and recommit your love. Tell him you'd come and tell him you love him. And you want to do his will the rest of your days on this earth. Let's just come and have a time around this altar. If the Lord's speaking to you about rekindling that love in your heart for Jesus and promise him you'll do his will the rest of his days on your days on this earth. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. You come right now, if you feel like coming, getting on your knees and recommitting yourself to love him and do his will the rest of your days on this earth. Come right now as Brother Gary sings.
Precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing.
Won't you come if the Lord's asking you to do this?
To him in my weakness for strength I can cling. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below, my Redeemer to know. For he is so precious to me. Let's sing that chorus together. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below, my Redeemer to know. For he is so precious to me. Precious to